Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. And now for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Joseph Lamb. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Matt. Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Common ZOS Communication Server, Dynamic and Static IP Routing Configuration Problems, and Best Practices. Today's presenter is Jeannie Christofak. Jeannie is a ZOS Communication Server Performance Analyst, where in her current role, she focuses on development of new technology, functionality to improve network performance. She has had 8 years of Level 2 engineer experience in the ZOS Communication Server area, with a focus on connectivity issues, including OMP route, static routing, and SysPlex distributor, as well as DNS and resolver. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Jeannie.
Thanks, Joseph. This is Jeannie. Good morning, everybody. Today's topic is going to be an overview of some of the common dynamic and static routing configuration problems that ZOS Comm Server TCP/IP support seen multiple times reported from the field, as well as solutions to these problems. Joseph, you can move to the next slide. We'll do a brief overview of what static and dynamic routing are, followed by one common static routing configuration problem, and then three dynamic routing configuration problems. And then finally, we'll discuss some other resources for ZOS Comm Server routing tips and troubleshooting. We can move to slide three. So I'll just do a brief overview of what static and dynamic routing actually are. IP routing is defined by how a host running the internet protocol chooses to deliver datagrams to their intended destination. The mechanism used to determine this is called a route, and the collection of all the routes is called a routing table. Static routing is a manual way of coding all the routes in the routing table, either by using the gateway or begin route statement in the TCP/IP profile. Begin routes is actually the preferred way, and you can only use IPv6 static routing using the begin route statement. Dynamic routing is a way to learn new routes from the network based on topology changes. The strategic routing daemon is OMP route, which supports both RIP and OSPF protocols for IPv4 and IPv6. We do have another routing daemon called ORouteD, but support for that ended in 1.7. You can move to slide 4. One thing to note is that the TCP/IP stack will choose the correct route to a destination from the routing table in the same way whether or not the available routes are coded statically or learned dynamically. So the configuration problems that we're going to talk about today are going to talk about actually how to configure the routes, not actually how the routes are routed, if that makes sense. You can move to the next slide. So the first thing, we're going to talk about one common static routing problem. This is the one that we see the most. It deals with static routing via either the begin routes or the gateway statement. The problem is characterized by seeing the output of the EZZ0657I message for begin routes or the EZZ0348I message for gateway. The messages indicate that there's not a valid route to the first hop specified in the routing statement. You can move to the next slide. The way to avoid that is to make sure that a properly coded route is available to the first hop address. You always have to have a direct route to any host specified as a first hop in an indirect route. By indirect route, I just mean that there is a hop and there's not an equal sign for it, meaning that it's a direct route. You can move to the next slide. So I'm going to go ahead and start talking about the common dynamic routing problems, because those are the ones that we actually see more of. So we're going to discuss three configuration problems we see most often in the field with dynamic routing, namely the case where an OSPF router ID is not specified and defaults to a dynamic VIPA address, the case where routing problems are caused by an interface not being properly defined to OMP routes, and finally, problems caused when parallel OSPF is used with shared OSA cards without taking care to avoid a particularly ugly problem. You can move to the next slide.
Just as a reminder, we are now moving on to slide number 8.
Thank you. So the first one that we're going to talk about is the OSPF router ID as a dynamic VIPA. Basically, what happened is there was a control block restructure done in ZOS 1.5 OMP route to make some performance and other improvements, but it changed the algorithm for selecting the router ID. For those of you who don't know, router ID is a dotted decimal number to represent an OSPF router. So the likelihood of selecting a dynamic VIPA as the router ID was raised if router ID was not explicitly already coded in OMP route configuration file. The problem is that by RFC, OMP route will preserve a router ID as long as it's up. And that's not just OMP route, that's any OSPF router. but a divide but can move from one stack to another. So basically that means you can start stack A and OP route A and default to a router ID of divide but A, and then start stack B, and that'll take over that divide but A, and then start OMP route B, and OMP route B can choose the exact same router ID as OMP route A because it now owns that same address. Having two routers in OSPF network that have the same router ID can cause mysterious, to say the least, and difficult to diagnose problems. Can we move to slide 9? The symptoms of having multiple of the same router ID in OSPF network are route flapping, routing loops, OSPF checksum errors, and there may be other side effects as well, depending on your network topology, but these are the most common. It's not easy to diagnose, to say the least. You can move to slide 10. So we're going to talk about how to avoid this. The best way is to avoid the problem is just to code a router ID statement in the OMP route configuration file, rather than letting the router ID default to whichever address is in the homeless OMP route chooses. Our recommendation is to code a static VIPA, although any address that you know will never move to another router in the network will do. Move to slide 11. And here's just an example of a good way to code your router ID. The router ID statement is easy. It's just router ID equals the IP address. And it needs to be an OSPF interface, so you have to explicitly code that or have it covered by a wildcard statement for it to be a valid router ID. You can move to slide 12. Additionally, we did make some enhancements in DOS 1.8 to change the algorithm that chooses a default router ID. So now, instead of a dynamic VIPA being more likely to be chosen to be the router ID, it's now the last resort. And if for some reason that you did decide to make it the router ID, we have a message that'll warn you that comes out to the console saying, we don't recommend you to have this router ID. With the enhancement, the only way that you should ever have the DeVIPA be the router ID is if you explicitly code it as such, which we absolutely don't recommend. If you did that, you'll get the new warning message. We'll let you do it because we'll assume that you had a reason that you wanted to do that, but we'll tell you that we don't think it was a good idea. The second way that you could have it happen is if you only have DeVIPAs in your own pre-route configuration, which, again, you probably won't have because you can't communicate OSPF without any real interfaces. But if you did do this for any reason, like you just wanted to put your devices in Vario Bay and some other OSPF interfaces later, we'll let you do it, but we will give you the warning message. And then the third way that you could have it happen is very rare. If you didn't have OSPF enabled at startup, but you had an OSPF interface wildcarded that was defined to the OMP route configuration file, that matches a DeVIPA that was very obeyed into the home list later, and a DeVIPA is the first match on that wildcard, it will be chosen as the router ID. But this is pretty rare. I don't really ever see anybody that's done this before, but there's a chance if you did do that, you could end up with problems. You can move to slide 13, please. And this is just an example of the new warning message against letting your router ID be a dynamic VIPA in ZOS 1.8. It's the EZZ8134I. Previous releases, though, you know, the enhancement to have the message come out isn't available, so you'll just want to be mindful of that if you're at a lower release than ZOS 1.8. You can mute this slide 14. And you can verify the chosen router ID by doing a DHTTP/OMP/OSPF/stats display or a modify OMP route stats display. If the chosen router ID is one of your dynamic VIPAs, you'll want to consider coding a router ID statement in your OMP route configuration file. Slide 15, please. If you're sharing OMP route configuration files across multiple stacks via wildcard statements, you actually may not be able to code the router ID explicitly because a particular IP address might not be available on, well, won't be available on multiple stacks. Ensure that there is at least one non-dynamic VIPA interface coded in the OSPF interface is coded first in the OMP route configuration file. That's one way to get around it. We also have some requirements out there. If you're interested in your and you are sharing configuration files across multiple OMP routes, you can let service know or let your CAP rep know that you'd be interested in subscribing to those requirements. All right, slide 16. All right, this is my favorite one. Not all interfaces coded to OMP route. We actually see this more than any other problem. The number one OMP route problem we ever see by the service team is unexpected routing problems due to unintentionally undefined interfaces in OMP route. if you're at ZOS 1.5 or above and you have global options, ignore undefined interfaces equals yes, not coded in the OMP route configuration files. You have to be careful to code all your interfaces in the TCP IP stack homeless to OMP route configuration. OMP route actually overrides the stack's BSD routing params for subnet mask and MTU with the default class mask and MTU of 576 if interface is undefined. If you didn't want these defaults, it can cause routing loops and misdirected traffic, and that's not good for anybody. You can move to 17. So in ZOS 1.5 and above, like I said, one way you could avoid the problem is to code global options, ignore undefined interfaces equals yes in the OMP route configuration file. If this method's chosen, you can confirm that the interfaces that you're ignoring are the ones that you want to ignore via the DTCPIP, OMP, generic IFS, or modify OMP route a generic IFS display. The IGN parameter will show yes if the interface is ignored. So if you're ignoring interface, it won't be advertised, it won't be taken advantage of in any of your routing. You can move to slide 18. The easiest way to avoid the problem is to configure all the interfaces in your home list in the OMP route configuration file, and in ZOS 1.4, that's the only way that you can do it because you can't take advantage of the global options to ignore undefined interface statement that came out in 1.5. This would include any home addresses which may be added after OMP route has already been started, such as the BIPAs. You can also verify if any interfaces were not coded OMP route via the DTCPIP, OMP generic IFS display or the modify OMP generic IFS display. And the generic display is only valid for 1.5 and above too. If an interface shows no in the CFG column, it wasn't defined. And you can kind of tell because the subnet mask will be the class mask and the MTU will be 576. You can move to 19. If you are intentionally using global options ignore undefined interfaces equals yes to not advertise routing information about particular interfaces, and the interface cited is in the message text is one of those interfaces you do not want to advertise, then the message does not indicate a problem. However, if you do want the IP address of an interface cited in an EZZ7975i message to be advertised via routing protocol to other routers, we need to either add or correct the definition for this interface in the OMP route configuration file. So I don't think I have it in the slide, but there's a message that gets put to syslog called EZZ7975i if you're ignoring a particular interface. And if you see that and it's not an interface that you want to ignore, you better make some adjustments to your OMP route configuration file to make sure that it gets picked up. You can move to slide 20. So basically, the recommendation stands that either all interfaces should be coded to OMP route, or if global options ignore undefined interfaces equals yes, care should be taken that any interfaces that are ignored that should be ignored, and vice versa. All right, you can move to 21. One last note on this, because we've seen so many problems with people not coding all their interfaces to OMP route, we actually took an APAR PK31013 to route the warning message about not having an appropriate interface statement coded for a home list entry to the console to bring about greater awareness of the potential problems. We've just seen so many problems caused by a miscoded interface statement that putting it to the console makes people more aware and say, oh, okay, well, I must have something wrong with that statement. All right, you can move to 22. So I'm going to talk about this parallel OSPF with shared OSA cards problem, and we've actually seen this multiple times. When OMP route is started, if two or more OSPF interfaces or IPv6 OSPF interfaces are in the same subnet or on the same link for IPv6, then one of those interfaces will be chosen as the primary OSPF interface. Or you could alternatively code the parallel OSPF equals primary statement on the OSPF interface. Otherwise, one will be chosen as primary. Basically, the whole idea of the primary OSPF interface is that it's the interface over which the actual OSPF protocol traffic will flow and all the information will be exchanged. All other interfaces on that subnet or on that link, if you're using IPv6, would be given backup status, which means if the primary interface is taken down, one of the backups will take over the responsibility of sending and receiving the OSPF protocol traffic. So basically, you have a primary interface that's going to send and receive OSPF traffic, and then if you have any other interfaces in that subnet that are also OSPF interfaces, they're going to be backups. They're not going to exchange traffic, but they're going to know about the traffic that's exchanged over the primary interface. there's phases of the process in forming an adjacency where OSPF unicast packets called database description packets are sent and received between OMP route and the designated router. And if the OSPF protocol specification requires that OMP route and the OSPF protocol specification requires that OMP route receives these packets on the primary OSPF interface, any packets received on a backup OSPF interface will be discarded. Move to slide 23. The service has seen a number of reported problems where OMP route with parallel OSPF interfaces is exchanging database description packets with another OMP route, which is the designated router, and these two OMP routes share an OSA card in QDIO mode between them. Shared QDIO is good because there's no need to send a packet out on the network if you can just send it to the destination over the OSA card. And the new packet is received over the card, it's given a quote-unquote destination address, and then passed up to TCP IP and OMP route. The problem is that the quote-unquote destination address may or may not actually be the actual IP address to which the sender sent the packet originally. Most applications don't care what interface the packet was received on, and when it's sent over the card, it just kind of, it gives it a destination address, but because most apps don't care about which interface it's received on, it's not going to make a big difference. But for OMP route, it does. It matters which interface it was actually received on, and if the wrong destination address is assigned by the receiver of the packet learned over the OSA card, and that wrong destination address is for one of the backup parallel OSPF interfaces, your database description packet is going to be discarded. So this can cause neighbor state regressions and loops, or if an adjacency failure is resulting in the loss of route. You can move to slide 24. So in the diagram, I have OSA1 shared by LPAR1 and LPAR2's 172.168.0.1 and 0.3 respectively. And then I also have OSA2 shared by LPAR1 and LPAR2's 172.168.0.2 and 0.4 respectively. And OSA3 is not shared across LPARs. The described problem can occur if, for example, LPAR1 chooses 172.168.0.1 to be its primary OSPF interface, and LPAR2 chooses 172.168.0.4 to be its primary OSPF interface. So because the OSAs are configured as QDIO, LPAR1 knows it can send its unicast database description directly over to 172.168.0.4 over the OSA card to LPAR2 without going out on the network. Because the nature of QDIO, they actually know all the addresses and home lists of the cards that are shared over the LPARs. So the unicast packet is sent from LPAR1 over the card and forwarded up to the TCP/IP stack on LPAR2. However, the OSA may or may not assign the correct destination address to the packet when it gets passed up the stack. The design of LPAR-to-LPAR communication over QDIO is such that it didn't matter what specific destination the packet was sent to, but what specific LPAR. So, basically, you could get a case where LPAR-1 sent a packet from .1 to .4, but .3 was the assigned destination address that got passed up to the stack. And when OMP route found out about it, it said, oh, you got this packet on a backup OSPF interface. We're going to drop it. That's not good if you're trying to form an adjacency or keep an adjacency. In the above example, the problem can be avoided by making LPAR3 the designated router. Only the designated router will exchange unicasted database description packets with other neighbors because OSA3 is not shared. There's not a chance to run into the problem because you won't be unicasting database description packets over the card. The key to avoiding the problem is not to allow unicasted OSPF traffic flow between LPARs with shared OSAs. You can move to slide 25. So basically, in a nutshell, the only way that you could actually be experiencing this particular problem is if you meet all the criteria. One, multiple parallel OSPF interfaces in the same subnet or link if you're using IPv6 OSPF. Two, the designated router for the subnet is another OMP route instance. And three, this OMP route is sharing an OSA card in QDIO mode with a designated router OMP route. If this is your problem, there's two ways to fix it. One, you can reconfigure the network so that OSAs are not shared between the designated router's OMP route TCP/IP stack and any other OMP route TCP/IP stack. Or two, you can reconfigure the network so no instance of OMP route will be the designated router, if possible. If you do not meet the criteria being in this particular problem, then it would appear that you have some other problem where somebody's sending unsolicited OSPF traffic to one of your backup parallel interfaces. In that case, you might want to check to see if packets are being leaked across VLANs, if those are in use. The only uptime that I've ever seen packets being forwarded up to backup interface in a case where this was not actually the problem, they had something kind of weird going on in their network. But if you did have that problem and you didn't meet the criteria for this particular problem, the documentation that you'd want to get is a OhmTrout T2D1 trace and a dump of both OhmTrout and TCP/IP addresses space. Alright, slide 26. So if you can help it, we recommend that you don't let OhmTrout become the designated router for a subnet or link. You can configure the router priority parameter of the OSPF interface or IPv6 to OSPF interface statement to prevent an instance of OhmTrout from being a DR, and so you make the router priority equal 0 to do that. You want to be careful, though. If you only have OhmTrout instances in your subnet, then one of them has to be a DR. In that case, you'll just want to make sure that you choose a DR that you can avoid sharing an OSA between it and any other OhmTrout in that subnet. All right, slide 27. So this chart just talks about a couple resources that have comp server ZOS routing tips and information. We have an info APAR II-12026. It's got a lot of information about common routing problems. And we also have an OSPF tutorial for comp server that you can get at the address below. And then there's actually a tech note about the routing problems whenever you use the router ID for OhmTrout. And it basically goes over the same things that I talked about in this class today. All right, slide 28. All right, this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. All right, slide 29. Questions and answers?
Thank you, Jeannie, for a great presentation. At this point, Matt, we would like to open the line for questions.
Okay, at this point, we have no questions. Mr. Lin, I'll turn the call back over to you.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Jeannie, for presenting today.
Thank you.